Well, that was surprising.
Very.
Well, that was very, very, very surprising and extremely pleasant. It is the Project Game Day post-game show. Glenn Clark, and good to have back this week. We missed her last week. The NFL chick.
How much fun did y'all have without me?
I mean, you saw the game. We didn't have much fun at all.
but you know, sometimes when you're in media, right?
Right.
Yeah, losses like that are fun. Now, on the other side, when you're a fan, it's obviously not fun. But it's fun to yell and fuss and potentially curse.
We didn't have to do much of that this week, really, really nice. All right, PressBox's Project Game Day postgame show is brought to you by Par Excel. I'm Glenn. She's Rita. Please get in with your thoughts in the comments like our buddy Ken Zales just did and said, just like we called it, Rita, huh?
We were so right. Oh, we all picked the Raiders.
I picked the Raiders to cover.
We all picked the Raiders.
Yeah, picked the Raiders to cover myself because I had no idea that suddenly this week the Ravens were going to remember Joe Flacco was Joe Flacco.
Yep.
And, like, can do things with a football that other human beings can't do with a football. And maybe you should try to use some of that sometimes.
Well, to their credit, I think they heard a lot of the criticism that they received about it. And, you know, KZ made the joke, I think KZ said on the show, on a fantasy and reality show, first play is going to be like some type of play action.
Right.
And it's only going to be to the middle of the field.
Right.
KZ, you was a little bit wrong there. 56 yards. But, you know, we'll go with that. But you do have to give Joe Flacco a lot of credit.
The truth. He was great today.
He was very good today. And he broke his streak.
Right, no interceptions.
No interceptions
over 10
today.
Games.
Although we do know that the Raiders have not had one this year.
Correct.
You gotta take what you can get at this point. Snap that streak. Hopefully, you can build on that and move forward.
Look, all that I care about is that you remember that the guy has a cannon of an arm.
That's all we ask. But that is all we ask.
Rifle.
Yep.
And you decided to give him a boatload of money and then decided for some reason to stop using the one weapon that unquestionably that dude possesses. Whatever your opinion of Joe Flacco is, I'm going to say this until I can't speak anymore. I don't care what your opinion of Joe Flacco is, but whatever it is, there's one thing that none of us can argue. Whatever your opinion is of his body language, of his leadership, of his all of the other crap, whatever of his ability to see the field, of going through his reads, whatever your thoughts on are all of those things, there's one thing about Joe Flacco that none of us can debate, and that is he has an ungodly arm to throw the football.
Correct.
He possesses something that few human beings in the history of time have possessed.
Correct.
And once you gave him that money, you had the obligation to say, how do we use this? This skill set that we've already seen can lead us to a Super Bowl title. We already know damn well we can win a Super Bowl with that arm.
Yep.
If we surround it with the right amount of talent and we call plays that work around his skill set.
Yep.
And for 4.5 years, we've been sort of wandering through the wilderness trying to figure out why it is that they don't want to do that anymore. Now, Gary Kubiak obviously did some of it. So,
yes, 2014 was a good year.
With that aside, we've been wondering why it is that hasn't happened.
Correct.
But today, it started to come back. And I hope that means that it's going to continue. I hope this wasn't just a case of, well, the Raiders' secondary doesn't really scare us, so today we'll take some chances. But next week, we're going right back to being the team that we want to be. If that's the case, I got nothing for you.
This is moot, right?
Yeah,
it is moot. To add to that, so you do have a quarterback that can throw the ball. Then you get a guy like Mike Wallace who you know he can fly. You know he can fly because you utilized him a good bit last year in his ability to just run goals.
Correct.
And then you found ways to neutralize him as well this year. So I'm glad that today, for whatever reason, the Ravens decided, you know what, we have these guys, we can just run these plays, let's just do it, see how it goes. The Raiders' defense outside of the front seven isn't that good.
Right.
Let's test them and see what it works. I do hope that it does build them in the future to continue to do that because I don't want you to regress and say, oh, let's game plan and do this against this defense. No, do what works best for you. And what works best for you is throwing the ball down the field because
Period.
You have a quarterback that can do that.
No, you got to get the protection, and they got the protection
Correct.
Today. And that
today
was
he got
huge.
It. Well, let's go with that. Let's
right.
start with that, right? We realize that Khalil Mack is a monster.
He's a game changer.
Bruce Irvin is very good. Mm-hmm. So the Ravens offensive line, the way that they are right now, with essentially Ronnie Stanley and James Hurst being the best players that you have available on that line did a very good job today.
Yes.
Big ups to that. Like, I was very concerned going
into
this game.
Well, Matt Skura, before he got hurt, that's the bummer about Matt Skura getting hurt, is he was playing really well in the first half.
He played very well. But I was concerned about that coming into the game. Khalil Mack is somebody that's so hard to defend.
He breaks games.
Yes, and I thought he was going to – I thought, surely, this was a three-sack game for him.
Right.
They found a way – to neutralize those guys. They found a way to get physical, and they found a way to allow the run game to put the tempo to this game. So I'm extremely proud of the offensive line today. They stood up to the challenge that was very hard for
them. And it allowed for the Ravens to do those things downfield. Now, as we said in the last couple weeks, sometimes, like the first play of the game, that wasn't about the offensive line. That was, we're going to get the ball out quick, but we're going to use that cannon, and Mike Wallace is fast, and we're going to take our chances on a timing play down the sideline.
Yep.
By the way, those things are really hard to do. Like, that's, everybody always complains when somebody doesn't hit on a long ball. That's a really hard play to make work, but yet it worked the first time. It worked immediately, and I do think that just the ability, just doing that changed things a little bit.
I agree.
Having the one to sort of go back to changed things as the game went on. Mick gets in. Hello, Mick. She says, the play calling coming out of the half. Look, I do think that a lot of people had a problem with the fact that they went back to being conservative, and I think this plays into what our concerns are, right?
Yes.
Our concerns, you and I, is that this is a one-week thing. They saw something in the matchup, decided they could take advantage of it, and next week they want to go back to Ravens football. They want to go back to running the ball and playing defense. I've been wondering that for a long time, Rita. What you saw in the third quarter, I do think concerns you if you're a person who, like us, are believing that this might be an aberration, ultimately, that this could truly prove to be the misnomer, right?
Yep.
That this was the one time. And when the third quarter, they went back to just saying, well, let's just try to run the ball and get out of here with a win, play some tough defense. Yeah, I think that leads back to the concerns that you have about whether or not this is a team that is truly committed to saying we need to open things up offensively.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think in the fourth quarter, that is a very good game plan.
Yeah.
In the third quarter, you have to find ways to put them away. The Raiders made themselves within 7 points. The momentum started to shift a little bit. So you got concern there. You can't get conservative too soon. You have to continue to put your foot on the gas.
It's working.
Put the game away.
It's working.
I agree.
Do the thing that
works.
Do
the thing that works.
Correct. It's not that hard.
Do that in the fourth quarter. Run the clock down in the fourth quarter. In the third quarter, no, you can't do that.
Mick, I'm with you. I'm with you. Makes no sense.
Mick and I talked about that on Twitter. Like, here we go again with this conservative thing. Marty Morningwig wants to do this, and the game is not put away. At that point, they were only up, two scores, I believe.
No doubt.
So you have a whole half. You had a whole 30 minutes to try to defend. You can't do that early in the third quarter.
No. And again, look, in the fourth quarter when they ended up running the ball, it worked, right? They had worn them down. But in the third quarter, it wasn't working.
Correct.
And the other thing had worked.
And that's because you come straight out of halftime. Obviously, the defense of the Raiders fixed whatever issues that they were having in the first half. So they're run blitzing now. They're doing all these things to stop the run. And they continue to try to do this. That is the one thing I think Ravens fans in general have an issue with, is that we feel that they don't
a feel for the game, I think, is the way.
Yes, they're not good with the feel for the game. I have a real problem with the fact that once you realize that, okay, they fixed their issues at halftime, maybe we need to go back and do something different because now they know what we're going to do, so maybe we need to switch it up a little
bit. Yeah, I hear you. Ravens win today 30-17 over the Raiders. This is the Project Game Day postgame show brought to you by Par Excel. Joe Flacco finished 19-26 for 222 yards. Those numbers are by no means like eye-popping in any way, and that they didn't need him to be eye-popping.
Correct.
They needed him to be really, really effective, and he was super effective today. And those couple of big throws really just made such a massive difference in this game. Buck Allen finishes 21 carries for 73 yards and a touchdown. Alex Collins, 12 for 55. We'll find out, obviously, Terrence West.
Yes.
Some sort of significant injury. We'll find out more, hopefully, here before we finish up. But if not, John Harbaugh should be speaking with the media momentarily.
Yes.
So we'll be monitoring that. Also, Carl Davis had to leave the game due to an injury, and Matt Skura got hurt in the second half as well. So hopefully there'll be some updates on those. Rita, some of the other things that came in. Look, I think the storyline for the game will be the deep ball, right? The fact that they started throwing the ball downfield again, and that leads to our question, which is, will that continue? Will that prove to be a one-week thing and not really who they want to be? I think we're going to be talking about that through the course of the week, and
absolutely,
we'll find out. I think that one of the storylines that we're not going to want to talk about, because, again, it feels like you're diminishing something, but there's the question of, what would this game have been had Derek Carr played for Oakland?
Fair.
And I do think that's a reasonable... It doesn't matter, because it's a win. A win's a win's a win's a win, right? But much in the way that in the first 2 weeks of the season, we had talked about, well, how much of this is about the Ravens and how much of this is about the Browns and the Bengals, I think there is a similar question that comes out of this. Look, what Derek Carr not playing had nothing to do with the fact that Joe Flacco tossed the ball downfield extremely effectively today, right? Like, those two things are completely unrelated. But the defense being able to tee off a little bit in the second half, being able to run the ball in the fourth quarter and play from ahead, those types of things, you wonder if this would have been the same way. And I only bring that up in trying to figure out who the Ravens are going to be. Is this really a story of a team that's turned things around this week? Or is this the story of a team that got a good matchup at the right time against a team that didn't have their quarterback and they were able to take advantage of that?
I'm going to be a little more realistic, and I'm going to go with the latter. I do think that they took advantage of a situation that, you know, they could that just fell into their lap. You would like to believe that Derek Carr is a guy that likes to take chances. So Amari Cooper essentially got shut down by Jimmy Smith today. I mean, whoever Jimmy Smith covered, yep. Jimmy Smith.
We got to talk about. He's having a
monster year. And so,
and maybe some of that is simply the teams are so unwilling to throw on him, like that
they're not testing him enough.
It's insane.
I feel like the last time that someone tested against Jimmy Smith, and I could be. I'm just making this. I'm going with my brain, guys. I could be wrong. I don't really. You don't have to correct me, okay? Because I'm just going with the fly. Was when he tried to Andy Dalton tried to throw to AJ Green and he threw an interception. I feel like no one has tested him ever since.
I mean, it's really ridiculous how Jimmy Smith has just basically had the season off.
He has.
I can't speak to how good his coverage has been because we don't even get to see it.
Well,
right? Like,
he plays excellent man coverage.
And we've always known that about
Jimmy
Smith. When he's been healthy, he's always been an extremely good. Now the knock on him has been ball skills, right?
Yes.
Like he doesn't go get the football, but. Holy crap, if you're going to defend like this to where no one will throw to your side of the field, and no one this season is throwing at Jimmy Smith at all.
Not at all.
It's insane,
yep,
the respect that he's being shown right now.
I will say that I do think that if Derek Carr were there, he would probably be a guy who would have tested Jimmy Smith today.
Probably,
I think that Derek Carr plays very fearless football, and so I do think that he would have tested Jimmy Smith today. I do think that Amari Cooper is having a difficult season this
year.
There is no doubt. He's dropping the ball a lot. I think he leads the league in drops.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know what kind of game he would have had, but he would have had more opportunities. And so you have to wonder if they would have been a little bit closer in this game if Derek Carr was in. That being said, he wasn't. E.J. Manuel didn't even play bad.
It's not even like
Manuel played bad football. He made some good throws today, and the Ravens still found a way to win this football game.
Well, so much
game.
Of this
and
is what happens.
You have to take that.
When you're up 14-0 before the other team has really had an opportunity to do anything offensively, the game drastically changes.
Yep.
It's a different game when before they can do a thing, before they blink, you've got a 2-touchdown lead.
Yep.
And that was the case today, and everything was affected by that. Mick points out, by the way, it's the Jimmy Smith thing is so crazy, she didn't even realize he was on the field.
I mean, it's funny because she asked me, was he injured? And I said, no, he's not.
It's just no one wants to throw his way.
Nobody
is throwing over there.
Someone went into this game plan this
week
and said...
The Steelers didn't throw to Antonio Brown last week.
Exactly. Antonio Brown had one of his worst games in a good while due to Jimmy Smith. So this week, listen...
No, obviously, they also didn't have to.
Shout out to Le'Veon Bell, I guess.
Yeah.
But you got to look at this. Listen, you have a rookie cornerback in Marlon Humphrey, and you have Brandon Carr, who has his whole career...
But nothing more than okay.
But my point is that... If you are the offensive coordinator,
yeah, what
for the
are you
Raiders,
gonna do? Right,
you're gonna go after the rookie and the guy who typically chases behind the
I
guy
hear
that
you.
He's supposed to cover.
I absolutely
I'll
hear
take
you.
That.
I hear you every time. Steve Bolander says, "I'm sorry, Ravens Nation. Worked the last two weekends, didn't have my jersey, and we lost.
Come on.
Today I had my jersey on, and we won. It's on you." It is on you, Steve Bolander.
Come on, Steve.
Your fault.
Do better.
Nadia and Steven just both want to get in to tell you that they're big fans. They love you. So,
me?
Yeah, I mean, high five.
Hey,
you take that, right?
Hey,
take that.
You.
Every Every damn time. All right. Dave got in on Twitter. By the way, I'm at Glenn Clark Radio. She's at the NFL Chick. Dave says, Glenn, have you guys talked about Jack Del Rio's decision to punt on fourth down?
We
were talking about
that
it a good bit before we started, but we haven't talked about it since we hit start. So I thought it was insane.
Yeah.
I thought it was nuts. And not necessarily, you want to say, hey, there's still a lot of time left, 8.5 minutes left.
It was
left.
About 8.5 minutes.
That's fine. But you were at midfield or beyond midfield facing a 4th-and-3. And the situationally, I don't think you're getting better than that. In a perfect world, they've got a very good punter in Marquette King. We all
yes,
know that.
They do.
But Marquette King is more of a boomer than he is necessarily like a pinpoint accuracy
correct.
Coffin corner Sam Cook inside
he's
the five.
He's not a Sam Cook.
Right. Marquette King is more a holy crap, that dude really just kicked the ball 70 yards in the air and completely switched field position with that type of beautiful punt. I think if you had a punter that you would trust it a little bit more as a coffin corner type, where you could be certain that you're going to pin the ball inside the 5-yard line, maybe I still would argue against it, but maybe I understand a little bit more. Ultimately, he puts the ball in the end zone, and so it's out the 20-yard
yep.
line, and it's a completely moot point. But right there, if I'm the Raiders, there's no world in which I'm not going for it on fourth down. There's this notion, the percentage chance, given how your defense had played, the percentage chance of you getting the ball back, scoring, getting the ball back and scoring again in 8 minutes is very low.
You're
it's
right.
not impossible, but it's very low. Converting a 4th-and-3 is a reasonable...
It's not 4th-and-long.
Right, and it's in the middle of the field. You want to say, well, the Ravens might have turned around and been in field goal range. Well, hell, they ended up getting in field goal range anyway.
They did anyway.
Right? I thought it was nuts. I thought it was insane for them not to go for it on 4th-and-3. Every time I'm in that situation, if I have any trust and faith at all in my offense, I'm going to go for it in that spot because otherwise I just think I'm punting to lose.
I was on the fence
mm-hmm.
when I first came in and you talked about it. I think I was on the fence. I wasn't sure
well, you had pointed
what
out,
side I was on.
There was still a lot of time. And there was.
And,
there was still
and,
a good amount
that,
of time
I
left.
Think for me, my reasoning behind it was there was, what, a little bit under 9 minutes to go. So I think that Del Rio thought that his defense would play well enough to turn the ball over because we know that the Ravens are probably going to run the ball. But when I listened to you talk about it, you convinced me that that was a bad idea.
I mean,
and you were right. You were absolutely right.
To me, it's a percentage thing.
It
it's
is a
just
percentage,
percentage thing.
And not only that, though, again, to EJ Manuel's credit, I thought that he played a pretty good game today. I thought that he gave his team opportunities, and I think I would take the chance of him getting the third down because I'm going to guess that they're going to probably pass the ball on 4th-and-3
correct.
As opposed to run. I'm going to go ahead and take the risk of EJ Manuel, who played pretty much mistake-free football today, and take that risk. And if the Ravens get it as a turnover on downs, they do. But I think my logic behind it was, okay, well, there's 9 minutes left. Maybe he thinks that the Ravens will go 3 and out, they get the ball back, and then they score, and then here we go again.
Right, I hear you. I just – I don't
no, –
I
no,
haven't I, seen anything that suggested
correct.
That was going to be the case.
Yes.
And then, two, you ended up having a 24-yard difference.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, you were on the 44-yard
yep.
line. You ended up putting the ball at the 20.
So, essentially, it makes no – right, because he didn't even put it in a position where they were, like, inside the 20, inside the 10.
And, again, if you have Sam Cook – like, people were complaining about the Ravens last week punting from the 39-yard line on the first drive, right? Like, and understandably so, because Justin Tucker, part of the reason why you gave him a boatload of money is because he's supposed to consistently be able to make these 50, 55, 56-yard kicks.
Yep.
Even though that's a really difficult thing to consistently ask someone to ask to do, and I know he's missed a couple, but that's the concept of
yes.
why you made him the wealthiest kicker in the entire NFL. From the 44-yard line, with a punter who's more of a boomer, and he's a hell of a boot. Like, I'm not taking anything away from Marquette King. He has got a damn good boot, but he is not the pinpoint type of punter. You've got to say, we're going to pin inside the five, and we know in that point that they have to be limited in what it is they can do because they don't want to risk anything for any of this to be worth it. I don't think you could trust that was going to happen. I thought it was nuts for Jack Del Rio from the 44. It's the 44-yard line.
No, in retrospect, like in hindsight.
They still have to get about 20 yards the other way in order to get a field goal out of that.
In hindsight, when you look at it and the fact that they did get a touchback, you do have to say, okay, well, if you were going to do that, then why didn't you just
right.
go for it? So yeah, that was ill-advised on Jack Del Rio. I think that he thought he had enough confidence in his defense. But ultimately, the game is on the line. You need to make a decision. You need to let your offense do what they have to do. The Ravens defense had given – they were bending today. You know how people use that bend don't break cliche? I hate it, by the way.
Right.
But they, so they bent today for the Raiders. So if they've been bending all day, fourth down, you got to take that chance.
Yep.
You do.
Yep.
So you talked me into it, and I was like, okay, Glenn, you make a very valid point.
I ultimately it worked out for the Ravens, so who cares, right? Like,
yep.
You know what I mean? Like, it worked out really well, and you'll take that, but just not in any world what I would have done in that situation. What's your shirt say, Rita? What's your shirt say?
It's the year of the bird.
Yeah.
This is my friend has a line, so he does all the Ravens and Orioles stuff. So
okay.
It's a local business. Shout out to It's the Year of the Bird.
Is it your friend's not Purcell, is it?
Yes, it is.
No, there you go. He just shouted it out.
Hey, Purcell.
There you go. All right, when we come back in, I just need 30 seconds to tell you all about Parcells. So we're going to start looking ahead to next week and the Bears, who will have presumably, although they play tomorrow night, so they got to keep everybody healthy, but presumably will have a rookie quarterback next week, and whether or not things have turned around for the Baltimore Ravens, and whether or not the season truly is different because of today's result. We'll talk about those things next. Plus, we'll get to more of your responses on both Facebook and on Twitter as we continue on the Project Game Day post-game show here at PressBox's Facebook page.
The Parexcel Early Phase Unit at Harbor Hospital is looking for healthy males and females ages 18 to 85 to volunteer for a clinical research study. Length of participation and number of visits vary by study. If you qualify, you may receive compensation ranging from $1,200 to $8,500 upon completion. For more information, please visit our website or call 1-877-617-8839. Call now.
All right, Rita, that's the question. The question is, have the Ravens truly turned their season around today, or is this just one win? And that, I'm going to present this way, all right? Coming up next, they play the Bears at home.
At home, yes.
You're going to feel very good about your chances in that game.
Yep.
Following that, you go Minnesota. That's tougher. Who's going to be the quarterback for them at that point? There's some reports today that they're going to activate Teddy Bridgewater after week six.
Teddy B!
But this is
shout out to Teddy B.
I love Teddy Bridgewater.
I do too.
This is week seven that we're talking about. I can't imagine that Teddy Bridgewater is going to be ready to play by week seven. I don't know Case Keenum, Sam Bradford. There's a huge question mark that they have at quarterback. I still think that it's a difficult trip because the Vikings defense is outstanding.
Yes,
but they have no Dalvin Cook at this point, which
that's
is
very
really changed
true.
Them
that,
as an
that
offense.
That helps the Ravens, yes.
So I don't know what to make of that game between the Ravens and Vikings. That, you know, you start having that feeling where you're like, well, maybe. Following that, it's the Dolphins at home. So
Jay Cutler don't want to be there.
In the next 3 weeks, and they're chanting, "We want more" in the crowd, in the stands, in
as
Miami,
they should,
because they think that Matt Moore should be playing.
I think so too.
So two of the next 3 weeks, you feel really good about.
Yes.
Like, you feel like there's no way that you couldn't be at five wins when you get through this stretch. Even the Vikings game certainly does not look as daunting as maybe it did at the beginning of the season when Sam Bradford was playing great and Dalvin Cook was really running the ball well. Like, even at that point, you started to get the feeling of, this could be a Vikings team that could be a real threat to do something. You don't have that same feeling about that team at the moment. So you start doing this in your head and you start then saying, like, well, 6-2 isn't impossible, like, after the halfway point of the season.
I'm nervous.
Okay.
I'm just nervous. I mean, that sounds very realistic that you can win two out of the next three games, and I'm still nervous because I have no idea who this team is.
And that is a reality. That is a reality that faces the Ravens, right? Is that, like, you just have this feeling of, like, okay, today was good, but
you still don't know, because
are they capable of turning around and crapping the bed at home next week against the Bears?
It's very possible. The Bears have a good defense. I mean, the Bears have a defense that no one is really talking about. John Fox is doing very well with this Bears defense. The Steelers, in my opinion, their defense isn't that great, and yet somehow the Ravens allowed them to do what they did.
Right.
And so that's why I'm confused. I don't know who this team is, because I was certain when they went to Oakland that, again, Khalil Mack and Bruce Irvin was going to wreak havoc.
No doubt.
And they didn't.
Nope.
So that every week I don't know what team is going to show up. It would be nice to know what is going to happen. And maybe the silver line is that the offensive line is finding a way to protect their quarterback. Maybe the offensive scheme is finding a way to give Joe some time. Maybe they're chipping. I don't know what's going on. But the thing is that until we really know what this offense is, until they play out into their full potential, because I still don't feel like they've played to their full potential. Bashaud Perriman finally got in the
game. He did make a catch in the second half, which was nice.
But at what point do you get him involved? Like, you have guys on this team that you're not really getting involved.
They tried to go to him at the end of the first half. He didn't make a catch. Look, again, at halftime I talked all about my frustrations with the final drive. These are the little things that still piss me off. That like bothered me when the Ravens were good. Now they have so many problems that I don't even really have the emotion to be that pissed off about what happened at the end of the first half. But that's inexcusable. Yep. You have the ball on the other side of the field with three timeouts and over a minute to play,
I
and you don't come away with any points.
Yep.
It's inexcusable to not take a timeout when you get a first down in the middle of the field and instead have 25 seconds run off the clock and then line up and get called for a false start because your wide receivers don't know who's supposed to be on the line.
That was the worst.
It can never in the world happen like that. Like, you can't have that happen. My head wanted to explode in that moment, particularly because the Raiders were going to get the ball back to start the second half. And in your mind, you're like, well, they can make it a one possession game.
Yep. And at some point, they did. And correct me if I'm wrong here, but I believe that was the same drive that he went to Watson over the middle. Luckily, the Raiders don't know what interceptions are, because if the safety sees it, that's a pick.
Yeah, maybe. That could have been.
Luckily, he was too busy trying to defend the tight end opposed to go for the ball. But I agree with you. I mean, again, those drives right there, those are the ones that drive you crazy, because you have to continue to move the ball. Now, I will say, in the second half, they did that. They made drives. They continued drives. He got the ball out. He got them to his players. They were getting first downs. They got 3 points. Twice.
Right.
So I'll go ahead and I'll take that. But when you're in a position to try to put a game away early on, because at one point you was up 21-3.
Yep, correct.
And if you have a position to potentially score points before the half and say, look, let's just continue to knock them out.
Put it away.
And you can't do it.
Yep. It's killer.
And then
luckily, again, you didn't face a Derek Carr today.
Thank God.
Right? Because the Raiders were not really in position to take advantage of that.
Correct.
What you did there. But that's the type of thing that if you're going to be a good football team, it just can't happen.
I agree.
You can't have those types of things occur where you have a golden opportunity and you come away with zero at the end of the half.
But
again,
this is why the Ravens are ranked 30th on offense.
That is why.
That is why. Because they don't know how to put themselves in a position to put points on the board when it's necessary.
But they did enough of it today.
Absolutely.
They did enough of it today.
30 points,
and
you
they,
take it.
And they
take
got
it.
A, and they got a gift that Jimmy Smith was able to pick up and rumble home for a touchdown, which was obviously very nice, and if they could get a few more of those.
Yes, thank you. We appreciate
the
that
course
gift.
Because
that
year
was a gift. I mean, literally.
1,000% a gift. And, you know, he was apparently, he had a press conference afterwards. He had a second son born this week.
Oh.
And he was talking about that and talking about it. It was just nice to get a gift like that.
Absolutely.
Yep. It was very, very nice to get a gift like that. So, you know, cool. You'll take it.
Absolutely.
It's a concerning tweet from Jeff Zerbeck, and I don't think he needs to explain it more. He said, Jimmy Smith said he realized his Achilles wasn't going to allow him to play the entire game on fumble return. Oh, he realized during the return that his Achilles wasn't going to allow him to play the entire game. I mean, he played
for the most
part. I mean, he played for
the
most part of the game.
Okay, well, maybe that's some it's 140K. I don't think they gave Zerbeck 280 like
right.
They gave
some other people.
So maybe he can't. Maybe he has to go follow up.
Yeah, I don't know.
But
I don't know how many snaps he was off the field for. Look, we saw a good bit of Marlon Humphrey.
Yes.
We did. I mean, but I don't remember.
But we saw a good amount of Jimmy Smith as well.
Correct.
As a matter of fact, they showed a small highlight of him covering guys. So
correct.
We know that he's been on the field a good amount of time.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know what to make of that, but that's out there.
Yep.
Have not heard John Harbaugh yet with any updates, unfortunately, on any of the injured players. So we will continue to wait on news for Terrence West. Look, if Terrence West is going to miss some time,
are you going to cry a river?
That's the thing.
Let's
be honest here. I'm saying that not to knock Terrence West,
correct.
But it's none of the backs. Today, Buck Allen looked the best, right? But in the first half, Alex Collins still looked really good.
Yep.
In the first half, Alex Collins was still over 5 yards of carry.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like
still.
And he didn't fumble the ball, which is the one thing that you were
Hallelujah.
Complaining about with Alex Collins, is that he lost 2 fumbles in 3 weeks. So, no, I don't think there's such a difference, but I would feel that way about any of these backs. You know, if it was Collins, if it was Allen, I don't want to be disrespectful about any of them. I had somebody ask me, there was a report today that Adrian Peterson's on the trade block, right?
That's the report has come up that he is on the trading block.
No. I mean, for what reason?
Because he ain't doing nothing in New Orleans. That's the reason.
No. I'm not saying why is he on the block. I'm saying I was asked that in terms of the Ravens trading for him.
For
what reason?
Absolutely not. Adrian Peterson has done his time in the NFL. It's over.
Right.
And the Saints did him a favor by picking him up because nobody else was going to do it.
Yeah.
The Ravens have other issues they need to be concerned about. And, yes, although I do believe that running back is an issue.
No, I don't think they have good backs, but I don't think Adrian Peterson is either.
He ain't it.
Right. I'm with you. I just don't see any world in which Adrian Peterson is solving your running back issues.
None.
So I would say,
look how long it took for him to be signed to begin with. So that goes to show you that no one thinks Adrian Peterson can do it anymore.
I mean, and for good. Look, Adrian Peterson is one of the all-time great, athletes.
Let's be clear. He's over the hill.
Correct. I just don't want to take anything away from who Adrian Peterson has been. You know what I mean? Like, he's been amazing.
We're specifically
talking
about who he is now.
Correct. I'll pass. I'll pass on Adrian Peterson at this point.
Yeah.
It would stink. They don't want to lose Terrence West. Obviously, he's part of the mix.
And that's a depth issue. I mean, it's not like Terrence West is this great running back, right? And this is no disrespect to Terrence West, but Terrence West is a part of a committee. Let's be honest.
And the Carl Davis injury would be hurtful, Rita, if Brandon Williams is going to miss again next
week. Absolutely.
And at this
point.
The way that they're talking about Brandon Williams, you really do wonder when you're going to see Brandon Williams again.
Correct.
Because John Harbaugh was pretty dismissive, like, in this week. Some of the things that he said made it seem like this is still going to be a little while. And you look at the Bears, I know nobody's afraid of Mitch Trubisky, but the one thing they do pretty well.
Run the ball.
The Packers just scored a thunder touchdown.
Oh, my
God. They're going to end up winning in Dallas.
Yeah. It's 11 seconds left. Oh, wow.
It's pretty cool. I mean, this is one of those games, like, I'm really bitter that we weren't able to watch it.
I wish we could have watched this game, guys.
This looks like it was a really, really great game.
I'm hoping that they play this game on NFL Network this week because we couldn't see it.
It's a real bummer. Real bummer. the one thing they do is run the ball really well between Jordan Howard and Tariq Cohen. They have two really good
Jordan
backs.
Jordan Howard is very good.
And if you have no Brandon Williams and no Carl Davis next week, that's a difficult thing. Again, doesn't all of a sudden make you think that, oh, God, there's no chance you can beat the Bears. But it's concerning, the idea that you might not have either of those guys. Hopefully we'll get an update on that from John Harbaugh very shortly. Just a couple more things that came in as we wrap up here on the Project Game Day post-game show brought to you by Part. What are you giggling about?
Okay, I'm sorry, y'all. I keep peeking at the TV because I'm curious to know what's going on. So they just showed the replay of, like, Devontae Adams, doing what he's doing, and a Cowboys worker is, like, literally sitting there, and he rolled his eyes. He's, like, really pissed. But he can't react because he's at work. You know how that goes. He can't react because he's at work.
I understand that. That's pretty funny.
Oh,
that is pretty funny. All right.
Mike Wallace, by the way, 3 receptions, 133 yards. I mean,
because they threw a deep ball.
Listen, you got to. That's numbers.
Mick got back in. West definitely the best back at the goal line.
Yes,
I don't disagree
true.
With that at all.
No, I don't disagree at all.
Again, I'm not saying you won't miss Terrence West. I want to make that very clearly. I don't think that's season changing.
Correct.
I don't think that's, oh, God, it's over. But, yeah, you're going to miss Terrence West if he misses time, and we're waiting to find that out. And then he said, you need Brandon Williams back if we didn't score so early, the Raiders could have run all over us.
You know how I feel about Brandon Williams being out.
He's
I have
a
been
special
a component
player.
Of him being absent is a big reason why teams are running the ball the way that they are. The Raiders did a very good job today of continuing to get the ball on the ground, and I do think that Brandon Williams not being in plays a big role into that.
Don't disagree.
So, you know, I hope that he can come back soon. Again, like you said, they have the Bears next week, and I'm not even confident that he plays next week, but I'm just saying at some point you need him to come in because he clouds up the line of scrimmage, and they can't penetrate off of that, and we just need Brandon Williams to be healthy.
I hear you. I'm with you entirely. All right, I think we're good. I think that's about it for us this week. I don't care for these 4 o'clock kickoffs. How about we don't do another one of these?
I don't like 4 o'clock kickoffs.
4 o'clock kickoffs suck. Plus, the best games are at four.
That's what I'm getting ready to say.
Right?
You got the best game that's on right now.
Now that the sun's down.
Don't get me wrong. We enjoy the Ravens win. We just want them to
Correct.
Win at 4:30. We
right.
want to talk about this and at 4:30
and not 7:30. We got a whole day
exactly.
ahead of ourselves to sit back and watch football at that point instead of screwing up the entire
Absolutely.
Day.
Absolutely.
Rita, you're on Twitter at the NFL Chick.
Yeah,
yep. We'll give you a follow there. Of course, next Sunday morning, you'll be back on the Fantasy and Reality Football Show with KZ and Kyle Ottenheimer from 10 to noon, pressboxonline.com/radio. That's where I'll be tomorrow for Glenn Clark Radio from 10 to noon, as well as we will continue to discuss. I think the storyline for the week will be, was this the season? Was today a season turner? Or was it just a win?
It's just a win.
We'll talk about it for the week, Rita. Don't ruin it for me. We'll be talking about it for 7 days. Oh. Getting 7 days of content out of that question.
I mean, you know, you and Kyle might come in and say, this is the season change. One of y'all might really believe that.
I'm telling you, as I look at the schedule, you start doing the thing.
See?
You start doing the thing.
Here it is.
Where you say to yourself, like,
here it is. Hey, and listen, you got to celebrate the Ravens won. You got to celebrate the fact that the Steelers lost. 5 interceptions by Big Ben.
As KZ commented earlier, technically the first place Baltimore Ravens. Yep. They're back in a tie. Now, they don't have a tiebreaker. The Steelers are the tiebreaker.
But technically,
the first place Baltimore Ravens.
And I'm gonna say that I believe that when it's time for us to play them again, they will be fine. I'm going to say it. They're going to be all right. They're going to be all right.
All right. Wait, who? Them or? The Ravens.
I don't care about the Steelers. Okay.
You think the Ravens are going to be fine?
We're going to be fine. We're going to be all right.
You say so.
We're going to be all right.
All right. She's Rita. I'm at Glenn Clark Radio on Twitter. Give me a follow there. Appreciate everybody chiming in during the course of today's show. Thanks to Par Excel for making it happen. We will be back with you following Ravens-Bears next Sunday. That's a normal 1 o'clock game, thankfully. This can't be happening. There's no way this is happening.
Wait,
There's a lateral play going on in the Cowboys game. I don't think it's going to work, but... We've seen goofier things. How uncomfortable every time a lineman touches the football. It's finally over. How uncomfortable. They didn't take a knee. Play wasn't over.
Okay.
No, finally, it's over.
Yeah, it's over.
My God.
That was the weirdest sequence we've ever seen.
We got to go. We'll see you next week after Ravens-Bears. Normal 1 o'clock game, thankfully. We'll talk to you then. It's the Press Box Project Game Day post-game show brought to you by Par Excel.